Welcome to Sans. This is Jared Reimer. I hope that everybody will enjoy this episode. This is part of the technology blog and podcast series. And today, on the episode you are going to be hearing, we are going to cover two different items. We are going to cover the monthly Ouch newsletter they cover. And we're going to cover the Sans News Bites that was issued on the 1st of April. So, we also will talk a little bit about a brand new podcast that they are releasing. And I will provide links in the show notes. So let's go ahead and get started. This month's Sans Ouch newsletter is not an April Fool's joke. This type of thing happens all the time. What are we talking about? We are talking about social media takeover. Now, instead of me telling the story from Sans, let's tell it a little bit of a different way. So, I have a bunch of social media, as you know. And for a complete list of social media that's available to the public, you may go to jaredreimer.net, and there's a section on the homepage that links to all of the public social media, including Twitter, my network feed on Twitter, the Mastodon, and LinkedIn. Now, if I'm missing anything, don't blame me. I don't list everything for one, because my Facebook is not a public Facebook. And for another, what I choose to list there is all I have for the public. So, if you want something, please contact me. So, on any of the social media platforms, you know me for posting various tech things. And sometimes I will post about my shows and maybe some other odds and ends that I feel should be talked about. Now, let's just say that my Twitter account was hacked. And I do have a pretty decent following on Twitter. And you then get a message that is similar to what is discussed in the newsletter. Hey, my mother has been hospitalized, and it goes into a story of whatever my mother may have. Now, people who know me know that me and my mother haven't talked in a long time, and that's not the point of this podcast. The point of talking about something that may have happened to a family member like my mother would then entice you to make a decision. It would say something to the effect of, I wish I could help my mother with this surgery, whatever it might be, but I don't have the money, so I need you to send me the money so I can help pay for the surgery. And it would talk about whatever is going on. If this was an actual something happening, then it would tell you what was happening. As it relates to the newsletter, a girl was contacted by a cousin who then was told that her father's stuff was being sold, and then the actor who had Sarah's account, who is the cousin of the girl being contacted, was told what was around and to act fast because it was going fast. But Sarah never sent anything, and the girl didn't get money. So that's the short version, right? The girl lost a whole bunch of money, whatever it was, and got nothing. Same type of thing could have happened in my fictitious story. Now, as I said, I'm not going to go into all of the details on this, but you sort of hear the two similarities, where Sarah's the cousin, the girl I'm not going to name, but it's in the article, which we're going to link to, and that is where we are. So, the Sands article, which again is going to be linked, will talk about what is going on. So, we'll just call it Jared's story, and again, we'll just say that, you know, somebody who's in my network on Twitter was contacted to say that my mother had some type of surgery, needed to act fast because my mother wasn't going to live anymore. Now, as I said, me and my mother haven't talked in years. I don't know what is going on with her, and that's not the point of this article. So, what's actually happening? Well, in my instance, as the fictitious instance would be, my account eventually got hijacked. They would share fake posts, like my mother needing surgery and you need to act right now, or whatever's going to happen will happen. And there are other types of things, like what we've talked about on TSB, where you could be told that I was mugged in some city that I may or may not have been in, and that you need to send money to get me out of there. So the victims receiving the message believe me, even though I am not the one sending the message, and act on whatever the impulse is, i.e. sending money, going to whatever hospital to see the patient, whatever it might be. What makes this dangerous? Sands asks. Hijacked accounts is the first item. You are trusting that the account that you are communicating with is still in the hands of the owner. Emotional manipulation. They use personal and emotional topics and a sense of urgency And they also will pressure people into making a mistake. And finally, rapid spread. Once a victim's account is compromised, they can reach hundreds, if not thousands, of people. And a lot of people use the same password. This goes back to password hygiene, which we talk about each October as part of National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. And this is why it's important to change those passwords if you are alerted that your account is breached. Now, if you know your account has a very secure password, you might be okay, but at the same time, even I should probably heed those warnings when we find out that a service has been breached. But since I know I have a very strong password, I know that I'm usually okay, but that might not be the case. How to be protecting of yourself and others? Be skeptical of emotional posts involving money. You should pause and verify, meaning maybe in, let's say, my case, you pick up a phone and you call me. Hey, I just got a message that says you're in whatever and this is what's going on. I could say, I'm in a meeting. I'm at home. I'm on a bus. You know, wherever, whatever's going on. So, as item two says, you should verify with the person directly. So that's when I said that you should call me. Right? So, quite often, the newsletter says, the victim doesn't even know what is even going on. Scammers often ask for payment through untraceable methods. If you want to pay me, I can take credit cards directly by telephone. I can have you go to my website at jaredreimer.net and under links around the main domain, select the donations link. And there you can pay any amount directly by PayPal. You can switch off the button that'll ask you to pay with an account. So you can enter a credit card and just pay me without having anything to do with an account. Or there are various amounts that you can click on and enter your credit card directly. And that's how I take payment. I can even send you an invoice by PayPal, or I can send you an invoice by Stripe, which is the credit card processor I use. Some of the time, the scammers will want you to move, say, from Twitter to another platform. The article says that they might go from Facebook to another method. And no matter what social media you're coming from, you should be skeptical. Why am I going from one place to another if I'm quote-unquote communicating with you? So what do? Cybercriminals will take over your account and change your password. So Sands is recommending, and they aren't the only ones that recommend this, that you use a long, unique password. And where possible, use multi-factor authentication. Now, Twitter being the bad app that it's been these days, you actually need to pay for premium to use two-factor. That's how it is. We've covered this on the podcast before. But most other social media platforms, including Facebook and LinkedIn and others, will allow you to set up two-factor for that authentication. So if you've encountered this type of scam, which I have, in similar situations. It wasn't this exact scam, but they tell you to block the account and notify the provider. So there should be buttons on Facebook to report the account, and then you can say scam, and it'll send details off to them. And this article was written by a guest author named Ahmed Sosa. So, my question to you before we move on to the next segment of this program, have you seen this? And what have you learned? Sands News Bites. New security requirements for HTTPS and their certificates being issued are going to be changed in May. This is not going to affect people like you and I, but it should, in theory, make it harder, according to the newsletter, to be able to say, for example, that you are jaredreimer.net or Apple or PayPal or Target as examples of companies and or individuals who have certificates installed. We'll have to see how this goes. One of the two news items that we've also blogged on our blog at jaredtech.help is in this newsletter. The first being Oracle Health and their disclosure of a data breach, which they are not publicly disclosing. And as the Jared Reimer Network wrote, it does not make sense why they are willing to pay companies to send notifications when they should be the ones to do it, because it's their software or however they are integrated into hospitals. And as Sans News Bites writes, and it probably won't surprise me if we hear more about Oracle and their problems. They did say that this is the second issue that Oracle has had, because of course Oracle Computing, for their cloud computing offerings, had a breach as well. So this now makes me think that Oracle is involved in many different things, just like some other companies. And maybe it is the same company, based on what I've read in this newsletter. The second is one that we talked briefly about on Throwback, yet we did not really talk about it in practice on the Security Box, but of course this is probably going to be one of the biggest stories besides TikTok, which is not mentioned in this newsletter, with Saturday, April 5th looming. And I will just mention that before I left on April 2nd, we did spot an article, because it hit my email through LinkedIn, that there were a couple of potential buyers. So go make sure that you catch up on that. With that said, the article that we are talking about deals with 23andMe and whoever buys it must comply with their practices of keeping the data secure. But I find this hard to believe, because 23andMe already suffered a breach, which they, of course, denied until the evidence was out there. And the FTC is now saying, you must comply. So if I were to buy 23andMe, I would have to comply with the data practices. And of course, coming out on April 3rd, I spotted an article and blogged about another genetics company who will close their doors on April 30th because they are going to be in quite a bit of trouble, not because they are in trouble, but because of the way the government seems to be getting at data at will, and how they don't think that they can protect the data as they have been able to. And a lot of the data that they have been able to get was through other companies like 23andMe. So those are the three big items that are the top of the news. Now, here's the rest of the news. Clarity researchers report analyzed nearly 650,000 OT devices. Next, Firefox patches sandbox escape flaws after Chrome exploits. And this one we covered, and they are giving a thumbs up on this one. And for those of you running Firefox, make sure you are running the latest. Just close your Firefox and relaunch it, and when it's ready, it will update on its own. If you're running the ESR version, especially 1.15, make sure you're on at least 1.28, as they indicate that you may be getting unsupported browser error messages. Apple security. So, they have released, Apple has, they've released some new software which included backporting of a zero-day issue, including other odds and ends. And I do understand that we are on 18.4 now, and hopefully I'll be able to make sure I get myself upgraded. Apple Vis does have a blog post. I spotted this on their webpage, I think this morning, April 3rd. And if I get a moment to, I'm going to go see what they have to write on that. This is something to be a little bit concerned, and I'm surprised that they didn't put this particular one in top of the news, as I've seen sometimes in this newsletter that they have done more than three items. We've talked about phishing as a service entities, PHAAS. Well, this is a kit that reads DNS, that's the domain name system, and MX records. Now, MX, for those who don't know, is the mail exchange records. In most cases, these are going to be the same as your server. But in other cases, it could be pointed to a different server specifically for mail. My father was one particular person who wanted mail on one server and hosting on another, because he had a dedicated mail server through a program named GroupWise. Threat actors are hiding malware in WordPress Mu plugins. So if you're using this plugin or any of the plugins by this name, then you will need to make sure you're as up to date as possible, because things can hide in there, and this definitely doesn't look good. And make sure your plugins are up to date. Windows Preview. This is talking about Windows 11. And it is discouraging local account setup. There is a way to fix this, and the newsletter talks about exactly how to fix it. But what is of interest is the fact that Microsoft, as talked about in an editorial by our very own Sean, who does help me with the blog. Well, it is a good editorial, and I would suggest that you take a look at it. And we are talking about Sean Everest, just so that everybody knows who we're talking about. There are three more items. The National Institute for Security and Technology, they have released a final adversarial machine learning guideline. This is dealing with the AI tools and other odds and ends that are used to assist us in certain tasks, but they can also be used in many different projects, of course. You know, ChatGPT uses things of that nature and other, you know, tools that are out there. CISA publishes analysis report on research malware use in exploit of known Ivanti vulnerabilities. This isn't talking about anything new with Ivanti. It's talking about those of you who have not updated Ivanti to the latest version that is known, because these vulnerabilities have been out for a long time, including one, if my memory serves me, in this newsletter talking about January of this year. And finally, probably a moron of the week, former GCHQ intern admits downloading top secret data. But not only did he download top secret data, but he took it home. Now, I don't know about you, but if I took top secret data home, I would be punished by the extent of the law. And I hope that he does. Because that is as bad as it gets. Do you have comments that you would like to share? Email, iMessage, tech, that's TECH, at menvi.org. You can also text or WhatsApp 804-442-6975. You can also leave a comment on the comment line at 888-405-7524. The editorial board of Sans News Bites: Brian Honan, Kurt Dukes, Chris Elgi, David Holzer, Ed Scottis, Gal Sponsor, Jake Williams, Dr. Johannes Ulrich, John Pescator, Josh Wright, Kathy Bradford, Lance Spitzner, Lee Neely, Mark Weatherford, Moses Frost, Suzanne Valtrinit, William Hugh Murray. And Sands Institute is located at 11,200 Rockville Pike, Suite 200, North Bethesda, Maryland, 20852. If you would like more information about how to get on the newsletter, you can email support@sans.org or call 301-654-7267. Thank you so much for listening to today's Sans information. And when the next Ouch newsletter comes out, we'll be sure to talk about it. And we will be going back to a Sans News Bites only next time. I thank you for listening. And make it a great day.